Last week, I asked what one thing would make the biggest difference with this congregation. And I mentioned a number of things, possibilities, and then I said, I believe one of the things that would make the biggest difference is to save more souls in the community. That would help build us up. It would set the future for the congregation. And we looked at why we persuade men, and we looked about 8 or 10 different reasons why we should be busy doing that. I want us to continue along that line for a couple of sermons. And this morning I want us to consider the confidence that we need to have in sharing the gospel with others. Before we get into that, though, again, I want to welcome everyone. Thank everyone for being here this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful week. God has blessed us so richly, and we have much to thank Him for and praise Him for. In the scripture reading, I want to read that last verse one more time in Acts 28, verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Paul preached and taught the word of God with confidence. And as Christians, we are to live in confident hope and assurance of Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You drop down to verse 35 in chapter 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to read there, beginning at verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And we looked at that last week, where we are the church, we are the instrument to make known the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. God's people need boldness and confidence, and his word has much to say about that. So let's start by defining confidence. What is confidence? Well, confidence is persuasion, assurance, trust. It's a standing under that which stands or is set under a foundation, hence the quality of confidence which leads one to stand under or endure or undertake anything. It signifies substance. If we are confident, we are sure. We have a good foundation. We can stand up under. Confidence is, the word for this is usually rendered confidence in the King James Version. Sometimes it's rendered boldness in the Revised Version. But these two words are the same. Confidence, boldness. To be of good courage, to have confidence. And the Bible has much to say about this. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live and to die is Christ. Was Paul ashamed to talk to people about Christ? Not at all. Not at all. We should not be ashamed either to talk about their lost condition and the unsearchable riches that God has to offer to us. He said he was not ashamed, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And again, as we were talking about in class, we are to have a certain mind, and it's not enough to have that mind, but that mind must be manifested through our actions, confidently living out what God would have us to be. Philippians 1:14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You stop and think about this. If their leader was put in prison in chains, that might make some people more cowardly because they would not want to be put in prison. But Paul says they have become confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Confidence is to act with plainness, frankness, openness. Because someone is confident about what they know, what their mission is, what they are doing. As Christians, we should be confident people. We shouldn't be double-minded, distracted, people unsure of how we are living our life. We are to act without hesitation or reservation. In Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 29, Acts chapter 4, Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of the Lord with boldness. Now here, they prayed for this boldness, that they might be filled with boldness. And that is something, too, if we aren't confident, we should pray for confidence. God will give us confidence. And how does he give us confidence? Does it just come down from heaven and fill our minds? No. We pray, and it's like anything else. We pray, and then we get up and do. And when we do something, that is where the confidence comes from. But we pray to God to give us confidence, open doors of opportunity, give me the time, the energy, the health, the ability to go out and do this. And when you do it, you'll want to do it again and do it more and more. So confidence. We need to have confidence. Confidence is not being rude, but it's being considerate. When we are confident about what God's word says, we don't have to put somebody down. We should consider them. We don't need to be rude. We don't need to bully somebody. We don't need to be arrogant towards somebody. We need to be humble. Because again, saving souls is the most important thing that we can do. And we should never forget that. And we should have the confidence to do that and to talk about that all the time. When I was a manager in a business, didn't matter who my boss was, my boss would always tell me, the number one thing is sales. They would just pound that in your head. That's the most important thing is sales. Now, these other things are important, but not as important as sales. You like doing those other things, but they aren't as important as sales. And as Christians, we've got to get focused in our mind that sharing the gospel with other people is the most important thing that there is. And we do not let Satan distract us. And it should be something that's just intertwined in our life, where it's not we live and do this and that, and then we talk to somebody else about the gospel. It's just woven into our life. And whatever is on our heart is going to come out in our conversation. We're going to talk about the things that are on our mind. Yesterday, it was a beautiful day, and we went to a garden center, and the owner was walking up to us, and I said, "Hello, Pete." I said, "Sorry to hear about your wife." And then he spent 10 minutes sharing with us about his wife, because she was so dear to him. She came over from Greece when she was about 8 or 9 years old. They got married at a very young age. They were married 66 years. He started telling us story after story, and I didn't mind listening, and if I had said, and tell me something else, I'm sure he would have been glad to do that. Why? Because his life revolved around his wife. She was such an important part. Does our life revolve around Christ? If people ask us something, what do we say? How much do we say? Do they understand how so important Christ is to us? Where do we need confidence? We need confidence in different areas. We need confidence in our personal faith. We need confidence to live the Christian life. We need confidence in our homes. If we are going to be the Christian that we ought to be and let our light shine, the man, the father, should be the head of the house. There are so many things that the Bible teaches that goes completely against what society is living out. We need to be confident in God's word. A lot of people say that marriage is outdated, same-sex marriage is okay. It's wrong to spank your children. They will say all kinds of things, but we need to know the word of God and live it and be confident about it. We need confidence in the local church. We need courage. We need boldness to participate and serve, to be involved, to be engaged, and not just when we come together in this building, but when we leave, because that's when we come in contact with the lost souls. We need confidence. We need openness. We need to strengthen our relationship that we have with each other. And that confidence will help us to go out and to do the work that God has given us to do. How are we to do that? Without hesitation or without reservation, we're confident. Does that mean we're arrogant or proud or rude? Not at all. It's just a confidence that we can have by knowing God's word and having that relationship with Him. We're sure. We're confident. We need to have confidence in teaching and defending the word of God. When we come across people in the community that believe other things, we need to get across to them what God's word is. A lot of people, and this evening I want to look at the Lord opened her heart with Lydia, where there are a lot of people that are misinformed, they're confused, they haven't heard the truth, and we need to have confidence. We are not one of a dozen other options for people to listen to. We are the truth. God's truth. God's one true church. The only church that there is. And we don't need to be ashamed about that. We are privileged to be part of that church. And just like Paul, he would teach and preach confidently, because he had confidence in Christ from all the evidence that he has given to us. We need confidence to teach others. And we need confidence at the day of judgment. And you can even ask some Christians, well, if you died right now, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? And you ask some, and they'll scratch their head and they'll say, you know, I'm not sure. Where's our confidence? If God says, if you do this and this, you'll be saved, and we do this and this, and we live this way, and we do this and we do that, where's our confidence if we aren't sure? We need confidence. Well, why do some Christians lack confidence? One of the reasons, I believe, is fear. We lack confidence many times simply because we are afraid. You take somebody, and one of the biggest fears is speaking before a group of people. And you take somebody that's never done that, and you bring them up, you put them before a couple hundred people, and they're nervous. They are fearful. That person comes up again and again and again, and pretty soon you can't get them to sit down. Why is that? Because they've overcome that fear. They've overcome that fear. And if we have a fear about something, we can overcome it and have confidence. You don't have to be afraid to teach the gospel. Somebody says, well, I don't know what to say. I'm not a good speaker. I don't know how to say things the right way. What did Paul say? Paul said the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It's not the words that I say or the words that you say. We just sit down and we open the Bible and we let God speak. And we can be confident that when God is speaking, that is the truth, and that is what people need to know. True, there's some training that might need to take part, but we shouldn't say, I can't do this, or I'm too busy, or I don't know how. That's three excuses. If I asked everybody here to give me an excuse, we could probably come up with 25 more excuses. Or we could just be confident and do what God wants us to do. Why is it when we look at a business and somebody comes up with excuses, or an organization, I can't do this, I don't know, I don't have time, and we don't accept those. If I was a boss at an organization and my employee said, I don't have time to do this, I'm too busy, I've got this, I've got to do this with my kids tonight, we wouldn't accept those. We wouldn't accept those excuses. Why is it do we sometimes accept those excuses in the church? Maybe because we want to be excused from doing something sometimes also. But we should not let fear cripple us from having confidence and doing what God wants us to do. Revelation 21:8, who are cowardly and will take their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. The Bible is full of contrasts, and here's a stark contrast. Do you want to be cowardly or do you want to be confident? Where will the cowardly be? The cowardly will take their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. What's another reason that some people lack confidence? It might be because of stress. Stress, they say, is a silent killer. And we know a lot of people that have either had their health ruined or may have lost their life because of stress. Is stress real? Yes, it is. But stop and think. Did Paul ever have any stress? If anybody had stress, Paul had stress. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll start at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measures, in prisons, more frequently, in deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I've been in the deep. In the journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. You talk about stress. Paul had a lot of stress, but he was still confident. He was confident. Paul loved, besides all of those things that he went through, where he suffered persecution, he had deep love and all those and concern for all of those other churches that he had been associated with. He had deep love and concern for them on a daily basis. Are we concerned about the cares and concerns of this congregation? Or is stress keeping us from that, from taking care of things? Or is fear keeping us from taking care of things? Sometimes we just get so wrapped up in our own life, and that leads to the third reason we lack confidence. Sometimes is because of the world. You go home, you turn on the TV. What's the TV going to tell you? It's going to tell you, if you don't drive this car, you got the wrong kind of car. If you don't use this deodorant, you use the wrong type of deodorant. You don't use this toothpaste. If you don't take this, if you don't do that, you aren't really living life. And we get so brainwashed by the TV. And then what happens? We lose our confidence, and we're afraid to make a move unless we go and check to see what somebody else tells us to do. We become discontented with who we are and what we have, and it's difficult or not impossible for us to express the attitude that Paul did in Philippians 4:11. And as our confidence begin to slide, we hear ourselves saying as we look into God's word, yeah, that person did that, but that was Abraham, that was Paul. Well, friends, if they did what God wanted them to do, we can do that also. And we just finished studying the book of Hebrews, and in Hebrews chapter 11, we had a chapter full of examples of people that went through all kinds of things. And why are they listed? They are listed as an example for us. We can overcome too. We can have confidence. We can have confidence. And I want us to close just thinking of a couple of examples and different types of confidence. Consider David. David, when he's a young boy, he goes out to check on his brothers who are at war with the Philistines. He approaches, he sees a battle that's going on. He sees a giant man standing in the valley and shouting and taunting Israel. And after asking about the situation, David determined that he would go out and fight that giant Philistine. Can't you just hear the conversation? David, you can't go out and do that. That giant's going to kill you. What did David have? He had confidence. When he went to fight that giant, he knew that giant was already dead. And why is that? Because of the confidence of God. And God took him through spiritual boot camp. God was with him with the lion and the bear. And here's this uncircumcised Philistine, and he's not going to stop God. He's not going to stop God. David had confidence. We need to have that kind of confidence. Well, you consider Peter. Now, consider this with Peter in a different light. And this is from Matthew 14. And the account is when Jesus came to the disciples walking on water. And Peter wanted to go out on the water and meet the Lord. He got out of the boat and he went walking to Jesus. And then he began looking around and seeing the waves. And what did he do? He started to sink. He was losing his confidence. There's an important lesson there for us. Why did he lose his confidence? Because he took his eyes off of the Master. We need to keep our eyes focused on our Master. Consider the disciples in Luke chapter 17. And the Lord was talking to his disciples about forgiveness. He told them if there is a brother to sin against them seven times in one day and repented, that he was to be forgiven. Seven times in one day. Just think about that. The apostles immediately began to think about how difficult that would be. So they say, you know, think about how they are reasoning. This is so hard. That would be so hard to do, Lord. Increase our faith. But what did the Lord tell them? He didn't say they needed more faith. You need to use the faith you already have. And again, that's how we get confidence. We don't pray to God, give me more confidence. We pray to God for us to use what He's already given us, and it will grow and develop. We need to use the faith, the confidence we have. So then, let's consider these things and not let Satan tear down our confidence about being a Christian, about living the Christian life, and most importantly, about sharing the gospel with somebody else. Remember the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7 at the end of his life, and he says, I have fought a good fight. We are in a fight. That's the life that is described of a Christian. We are in a fight. Is a fight easy? No. That's why it's called a fight. And you think about the Roman soldiers, the bloody Roman soldiers. And Paul uses this phrase, I have fought. And what type of fight did he say it was? A good fight. I have fought a good fight. Are we winning or losing in our fight? He says, I have finished the race. And this race that we are in, it's not a sprint where we run fast one day and then we sit down. It's a marathon. We keep running this race until the day that we leave this world. It's a marathon. And we can run that race if we have confidence. And he says, I have kept the faith. And as a good steward, entrusted with something precious from our Master, we need to have the confidence that we can keep the faith. We should not fear what man can do to us. Man can kill us, but we can still have the confidence that we can go and be at home with our Heavenly Father forever, for time without end. So confidence is that bold assurance we have because of our faith in doing God's will. We need confidence in different areas. We need to understand if we lack confidence, why do we lack it, and then we need to see how to fix it. If it's fear, we can overcome it. If it's stress, we can pursue and go on in spite of that. We can look to others. If it's the worldly influence, we need to get back to that pure heart that we were talking about this morning and being focused. And we need to remember, God has given us a book full of instructions and examples. And when I look at those examples, my life hasn't come anywhere close to matching up to some of the challenges that other godly people have had to go through. And we can have confidence to live their life and to share our life with others. And a phrase that I love from the book that the ladies are using to study: we must believe that God is powerful enough, faithful enough, wise enough, good enough, holy enough, loving enough, enduring enough to accomplish all that He has set before us. Friends, when you just stop and think about how great God is, how can we not have confidence? How can we not have confidence? When we understand the reality that God is able, we understand that our limits are not set by our own strength or wisdom or resources, but they are set by God's infinite power and resources. And we can have confidence. Friends, we need to not go about living a Christian life cowardly or weakly or apologetically, apologizing for being a Christian. Oh, you believe this, oh, I believe this. You believe what you want. We don't need to do that. We need to have confidence because people's souls are at stake. We have God's word, the truth. We have God. We have God. If we are a Christian. If we are not a Christian, then that's something to be fearful about, because God will not accept us when we are alienated from Him. We have to be reconciled, made friends with God again, and that is by submitting our heart to Him, repenting of our sins, confessing that Christ is the Son of God, and then being buried in baptism so that His blood can cleanse us, and then we can rise and have the confidence to walk a Christian life. Maybe you've done that and Satan has distracted you and you're dealing with things in your life that you need to correct. You can be confident that if you correct your life, that everybody here is willing and going to want to help you so that we can all help each other go to heaven. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.